No, I'm really disappointed in you, okay? I'm really disappointed that you have a coffee in hand.
Was that in the memo? Should I have drank? Should I have had something to
I
drink?
think it was.
Shit, I must have missed it.
I also think that it's just like to be expected when you're meeting with me and Julie.
That's hilarious.
I want to start off by saying that Schoolyard Banter was my most listened to episode. Okay, there's a lot of plays on that. And why do you think that is, guys? I want to know because I have a theory. I want to know what you guys think.
I don't have a theory at all. I was asking you why this was your most listened to podcast. I have no idea. You've had so many interesting guests, so many interesting topics, and I'm actually not sure why.
I think honestly, I don't know how many people listen to it, but I would assume something of like a subject like that. Most people just they are attracted towards it because they start to reminisce on their own history, right, and their own memories that they had with their friends. So that could be it. I think it's just we tend to, especially at our age now. Not that we're old by any means, but we tend to. That was, geez, that was what, 20 years ago, whatever it's been, 22 years ago. So you don't really think about that long of a period, right? You typically think about maybe the past 10 years, unless you're really forced to think about something that long ago. And I think when a subject like this comes up, most people are like, "Oh, geez, yeah, I remember, this specific time with one of my friends, or one, specific song, or sports that I played, or whatever." And I think it makes you like force yourself to go back into that thought process, where I think your day to day today as adults, as parents, you just typically don't go that far back in your memory bank, right?
Don't you go back though all the time? I feel like I'm always going back into that time because I'm watching my kids. Like I look at my kids and I'm like, oh, I remember that. I remember this.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess there's specific moments, and I gotta admit, actually, probably more recent than not, and maybe Julie kind of went through the same experience I did with her daughter graduating elementary school, right? With my son, who's turning 15, he's in grade 9. Last year, when he had his graduation, I think one of the things that struck me the most was having to do the ceremony from home, right? Like I remember us having a very, cool send away, I guess, if you want to call it that, from all our friends being together, receiving your awards in person. All those little things that my son, and now Julie's daughter, as an example, won't ever know what that experience is like unless they do it, through their high school years after. But from an elementary school point of view, they're not going to know what that's like because they didn't go through it. They had to do it like from we were on the couch in the basement, with a Zoom call doing it, right? And for me, it was especially difficult just because my son actually he had a great elementary year, like school year. He won like 3 awards, and not to be there in person and receive those awards, like it sucks. So that's the one thing that I think found myself is most recently was watching him go through something that I had gone through, but not experiencing it the same way I did.
Yeah, I agree with Phil. I think the Zoom graduation was especially hard for me because I wanted her to have a much better experience than I did. So I missed our elementary school graduation. I didn't graduate with you guys because my parents went to Portugal early and I obviously went with them. So I definitely wanted something more for her. I wanted her to feel, that closeness and just that togetherness with her friends. And be able to have that experience. And since she didn't get that, it was especially disappointing. We tried to do it special at home too. Like we put out a sign in the front lawn and we did like a photo shoot. I got her a graduation cap. She used my graduation cap and like I bought a gown and we tried our best, but it definitely was not the same. It hit differently.
Yeah. Well, to not to make you guys feel not older than me, but way ahead of me. My son had his kindergarten graduation virtually, and I too was very disappointed. Okay. I wanted to see him and his friends singing and like the whole thing. So I was sad about that also. He wore my graduation hat too, and we did a little party and stuff. But what I could say is because to me, grade 8 is such an important thing, and both your kids were so successful, it was so nice to see. I think. I mean, Phil, I don't know your son, but I do know Julie's daughter. If they have that personality in them and they have that want and they still have that connection to elementary school, why don't they plan something in the summer when things are good again? You guys can do something, arrange something for like the kids. Send out an email to all the parents and have them all get together and you guys do something for them. So they deserve to be recognized for their hard work.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree, and I think for you, your son being a little younger than our kids, it's still the same experience, right? At the end of the day, it's still a milestone for them, a milestone for you as a parent. Just like when my both, you know, both my eldest kids at the time, when they went through their the graduation from a kindergarten perspective, those are all things that we all got to experience as well too. But again, in person, you know what I mean? So even that, you as an individual missed out on that, not watching him do it with the rest of his classmates. Whereas if we did all those things together with the same people, well, not for me, because I came to the school later on, and I think Julie did too. The most part, you know, most of my childhood school years were spent with the same individuals for the most part. You know, obviously going into high school, you change with the people you go and so forth. But my core years in elementary school with the same set of people, like I guess the more important years of elementary school, I would call it, right? Because the one I classify like grade five and below, I mean, you're in school, you're having fun, you're kind of, but you're not really building those solid relationships that you do from, let's say, grade five to grade eight. And that's grade seven and grade eight to me were the most important. And that's where you build those foundations. And luckily, like my son, he still stays in contact with a lot of his friends from elementary school. He was fortunate enough that I think, I want to say four or five of them are in the same high school as him. So whether those relationships continue or not, at least he had that core group of people that went to the high school with him that he knew already, that he kept those relationships with. But I guess we'll see what the rest of the years will look like from a relationship for him and his friends, and if they truly stay friends like a lot of us from our years did.
Even for me, even though I don't have that many still friendships from elementary school, I have like a forever connection. So if I see somebody, it's like this feeling inside you. You're like, oh my God, you get so excited to see them and you're so happy. You want to know how they're doing. I always feel like that.
Yeah, it's like that nostalgia,
It
right?
really is. Well, I'll tell you what my theory is. So my theory as to why that episode's the most listened to is because curiosity killed the cat. Like I can just see it, okay? Like it just travels, right? Like if I found out that anyone else from St. Luigi, anyone, like I don't care who it is, if Julie was like, Susie, guess who started a podcast and they're talking about St. Luigi? Girl, I would listen to that immediately. I don't care if I loved you, hated you, whatever it is, I'm listening. So I can just imagine like news travels because people from years older than us that I didn't really talk to were reaching out to me and they're like, I loved that episode. I felt like I went back in time. You guys sounded like you were having so much fun, you know, and we really did that day when we were talking about everything. And the funny thing is that Phil was the one who was like, you know, I would have loved to do that with you. And now here we are.
I'm all about the people, you know, giving them what they want.
Exactly. And I'm sure everyone was like secretly messaging you, being like, why weren't you on that? So, what was it when you listen back to it, Phil? What was it that you're like, oh, I have an opinion on this?
don't know if I had an opinion. I think it was just cool to, like I said, like we typically, because our lives, I know I'll speak for myself. My life is so busy now with my own work schedule, with my kids' schedule. But you don't take the time to really reminisce on anything, right? So, you know, I'm always looking forward. I've always been a type of person that I really don't like to look back as much. So I'm always focusing on what's coming up, what's in the future, what goals I have, or what goals I have for my kids, or whatever. So when I heard that, and it was a cool, you know, way back playback, if you want to call it that, right? By listening to. And obviously, knowing both of you, and for example, Julie living so close to me, and so forth, it's you start thinking about those things. Like, okay, what did they talk about? Like, what memories do they have that maybe I share, or maybe I just don't remember, or whatever the case may be. And then listening to it, you're like, oh, okay, I do remember that day, or I remember that event, or whatever that could be. Because as adults, like, and especially with kids, right? I know I focus a lot of time on creating memories with my kids, so I tend to not think about my own, right? I think about theirs and what I'm going to do with them, and you know, are we doing the right things or whatever? So listening to you guys and bringing up those past events in our lives as kids, like it really took me back. So I was like, oh, this is cool. And that's why I get, like, typically podcasts, if I have no interest in the first like 2 minutes, I don't listen.
Yeah.
So, but for me, it encompassed something that I did, right? You know, like I was there, I was present, whether it was with every memory that you guys mentioned or not. At some point, maybe one of the memories I was part of it, it triggered a lot of my thought process to be like, oh, now I remember doing this, or I remember doing that with, you know, X individuals or whatever. So you start to think back. That's why I think it attracted me so much to the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. We hooked you the first 2 minutes. That's awesome. Well, what do you think about how you were parented back then in those days and now, like how you parent compared to how you were parented?
Growing up. Oh man. I got to admit, I think I'm sure I shared like similar upbringings to most people. My parents were, I wouldn't say extremely strict, but they were strict. They didn't tolerate certain things. Like, for example, and we're all Portuguese, right? So we have the same type of core values. Like, I couldn't talk back to my parents. If I did, like, it's a problem. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to get smacked up at that point. But even from what I would classify today as like a freedom perspective, they never gave me a lot of freedom in certain, up until a certain point in my life, right? They were always very strict in a sense that, you know, you're a certain age, and within that certain age, you should only be doing a certain amount of things, and you shouldn't be, for example, out until the all hours of the night or whatever the case may be. And my parents were always very, cautious with the individuals that I hung out with. Like my dad, as much as, and I think like all their dads, my dad was he was just working a lot, like as an immigrant, as a person that didn't have education, he worked in construction, right? So typically he would work 6 days a week. So, you know, he'd get home at like 6, 7 o'clock in the evening. He'd spend maybe a couple hours with us, and then he'd go to sleep or whatever, just like we would at that age. And I really only saw him on Sundays. But even then, my dad and my mom, they were very cautious of who I hung out with. And they were always very on top of, you know, if they saw certain people that they didn't like their demeanor, whether they were disrespectful or whatever, they were very quick to say, I don't want to see you with that person, or no, you're not going to go to this place at this time, or whatever the case may be, right? So, and as a kid, I think we can all agree that if you look at that, you're like, oh, this is bullshit. Like, I can't do anything. You don't let me do anything. All my friends do this, and they go here, and they do that, and I'm here stuck at home because you don't want to let me go anywhere. And you tend to get mad as a kid, and obviously you don't know any better, you just don't understand what they're trying to do. Like, they're at the end of the day, they're trying to protect you from any harm that could come your way, irrespective of the level of harm, whether it's, you know, just being in the wrong place at the wrong time. And let's face it, I knew people, and we all know the same people, that had a pretty significant encounter with the cops at a certain age because they were bullying somebody. You know what I mean? Like, just certain things that you remember now where you're like, I thank my parents for not allowing me to do those things or put myself in that position where that could have happened to me. So for me, like, yeah, I grew up in a household that was pretty strict in a sense of I didn't have the freedom that most kids had. I wasn't given everything. And I think we all know kids in our school at that point that were given everything. And you look at it from the outside looking in, you're like, geez, dude, you don't even do that well in school. Like, you're not the most respectful kid, but yet you have the newest Nikes, you have the newest clothes, you have the newest everything. And here I am trying to do everything the right way because I know my parents are very strict and they want me to do things the right way. And yet I'm still held back from like the freedom that everybody else has. Like, what am I doing wrong? But I think it's very cultural. I think it is a very cultural thing at the time that's how, you know, any immigrant parent, whether it's, you know, Portuguese and Italian, let's face it, that was pretty much the two cultures that we were around at that age, was those two cultures with, you know, a mix of other cultures, which was great. But the majority were European cultures where the views and values were very, very similar. So it was odd. For me, I had a hard time up until, I would say easily like grade 9, 10, like my parents were strict. Like, they did not mess around. They were very cautious of what to allow me to do and what not to do.
And do you think that was, like, looking back, are you like, I'm glad they were like that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Like, now as a parent myself, I look at it and I understand why they did what they did. There's some parts of me that are like, okay, I think it was probably too much at that time for certain things. But I would say the majority, like if I were to put a percentage on it, 90% of the things that they did, I'm like, I get it. Like, as a parent now, I understand. And you almost, got to give them credit, right? They don't have, they didn't have access to information the way we do today, mm-hmm. right? And for them to be cautious the way they were back then without really knowing what's happening around them. So let's face it, I have this discussion with a lot of my friends today and even my parents today. So my parents are like, oh, you know, it seems like the world today is really horrible. And it is. We know there's certain things that are horrible. But I always tell them, I'm like, a lot of the things that we think are horrible today always existed. It always existed. You just didn't know about it unless it was a major event and it was on the news. But for example, drugs were always around in schools. Unfortunately, there was always, you know, people trying to hurt kids, whether it was kidnap them, hurt them, whatever. They always existed. But because there was no social media, because there was no access to data the way there is today and information the way that there is today, they just weren't aware. Us as parents now, we have all that information at the palm of our hand. We can understand what's going out there. You have social media. You have the, you know, you get news articles on your phone. You have Twitter. You have all these tools that can tell you, you know, sometimes you hear about something that happens down in your neighborhood and you're like, geez, I would have never thought. Because you never had that access, right? So I think for them, not knowing a lot of what was happening around them, for them to still be as protective as they were, I think, it's amazing, because if they had the access that we had, imagine how much more strict they would be back then.
Very true.
That's how I always look at it. Like, if they had the information we had, absolutely, they would be more strict than what they were with me at that time. There's no way they wouldn't be.
Julie, were you?
Like, I used to go hang out at San Luigi when all the gang members were there. I knew gang members in our neighborhood. I knew who they were. My parents didn't know who they were. So when I was like, hey, I'm going to go to the basketball court at St. Luigi at 5 p.m., that's when all the gang members were there. Yeah, my parents didn't know that. They thought that we were just playing basketball. And I wasn't doing anything wrong. And unfortunately, those guys didn't do anything to the kids. They were actually very protective of the kids that were there. Nobody really messed around with anybody. But think about it. Like today, as you as a parent, if you know that your kid's going to a schoolyard that's full of gang members, you're going to be like, you ain't going. My parents didn't know.
Why don't I remember gang members?
I don't remember any gang members.
That's why the guy's perspective is interesting, because like there's no recollection of that for me at all.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, they were there.
I don't remember any gang members anywhere near St. Luigi. Yeah.
It was more in the evenings, not during the day.
Okay, good to know.
Okay.
We're going to have to talk about the gang member names offline, I guess, because who knows where they're at now. Don't want to piss anyone off. Julie, were your parents strict?
They were older guys.
Were your parents?
In elementary school, Phil's dad worked a lot. So my dad really wasn't around much. And then a few years I was really young and he opened a bar, so he was gone at night on weekends. So much the same. So my dad was never around and he was never strict. So when you get in trouble at school, you call the dad because he won't care. He won't tell anybody. Mm-hmm. Like, my dad's no snitch. So my dad, not strict, never angry, never disciplined us.
Wow.
He was just there when you needed him, but he was never really around. My mom, when we were young, she was definitely more strict. And then I started to get into high school and she lost all control of me because I was uncontrollable. So she gave up pretty easily. And I got to do what I wanted, definitely, from a young age. But it was great. I got to learn and I did what I had to do. But I was pretty grateful to them for giving me the space and the freedom, but also caring enough about me to know what I was doing and to be supportive. And as a parent, I think I took that with me. I took the strict part with me, didn't work. And I am the most lenient parent, I think, as opposed to all my friends or anybody I know. So I think that I was really good at giving my kids their own freedom, their freedom of choice, their freedom of expression. So they definitely talk back. They express themselves. they're allowed to be angry, they're allowed to yell, you know, they're allowed to voice their opinions. So we don't really restrict them much. We don't discipline. Me and my husband have pretty much the same views with that. So, and the kids have been really good. I mean, my oldest daughter, it's Phil's son's age. She also graduated with honors. She got into an AP program. She got into all the schools that she wanted to. She's a great kid, great student. We actually just bought 2 washing machines that only she knows how to use. She would teach me how to use the dryer. I still don't know how to use it, or the washing machine. I haven't done any laundry yet. She's my parent. She's so good. And my oldest daughter, she's emotional and she's tough and she's creative and she's so smart and so funny. And she just does her own thing, and we don't ever parent them, to be honest. So I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing.
Wow.
Yes, and it's interesting to hear that, like, because I wouldn't say I'm the opposite, but I'm a bit of the opposite. I've always been pretty. I brought a lot from what I learned from my parents, instilling, you know, core values in them when it comes to, and not that I know Julie has this, because I've seen her kids before and they're polite too. So not to say that they're not, but like I made sure that my kids were polite. There was no choice. There was no opportunity where they thought, where they could just talk to somebody the way they thought they could talk to their friends. Like, you know, and I'm sure you guys heard the saying growing up, like when your parents were yelling, you did something or you talked back or whatever, they're like, hey, listen, I'm not one of your friends. Like, I've used that line.
Yes.
And I thought I would never use it, you know what I mean? But my kids are, I'm very on top of making sure that they are respectful of other individuals. But I also teach them that if people do not respect you as an individual, you also don't need to, you don't need to like everybody. That's what I always tell everybody. You don't need to like everybody as a person, because that it's there, the amount of personalities and different personalities in the world, you're bound to be found that you don't like a specific type of personality and you don't gel with that personality. So I don't say you have to get along with everybody, but you do have to respect people. And if they disrespect you, that's fine. Just don't engage with them anymore at that point, right? But from a respect point of view and manners, like I was always very strict, and I still am. Like if I hear one of my kids even raise their voice a little bit, like they don't talk back to me ever. But I instill that from an early age. When I say they don't talk back to me though, I still allow them to make their own decision. Like you are, like when I talk to my oldest son, especially my oldest son now, because you know, being 15, they start to want to do certain things or whatever. And a lot of the things that I talk to them about is obviously like sports related or academics, right? And when you're trying to make decisions, I always tell them, like, speak to me about the decision. You don't have to do what I tell you to do, but I want you to speak to me about it, because at your age, let's face it, like you just don't think that far ahead. So I want you to make a decision well-informed. So when it comes to that, like I let him make his choices, but at the same time, I still try to gear them the right way as much as possible. But at the end of the day, like Julie said, they have to make mistakes. And that's what you need to do to learn from them. But I think I do it more because I never had that.
Yeah.
I never had that from my parents. Like I was always very to myself, never really incorporated them into any of the decision making I did. Like I remember picking up my classes in high school. I never spoke to my parents about it.
Yeah, same.
Like I spoke to my older brother about it maybe every once in a while just to get his opinion. But I never went to my dad and to my mom like, hey, I'm thinking of doing this or whatever. My son, when he enrolled in grade 9, me and him looked at his courses together and we had a discussion because I know what he likes and I know what he doesn't like. So when he's looking through the courses, I'm like, hey, if you pick this, this is really around an area that you don't enjoy. Do you really want to take that? If you do, go crazy. Like, do it. That's fine. But be aware that it's not something that you have told us that you enjoy. So if it's something new that you want to pursue, absolutely go ahead. But we never had those conversations with my parents. So I always want them to, selfishly, I think it's for a lot of it's for me too. Like I want him to feel like he can come to me. And I want him to feel like he can ask me anything or tell me anything. So that's, I think when it comes to parenting, I'm very engaged in their day to day, just because I want them to one day not be in a position where they're like, my dad wasn't around or my dad didn't help me through certain scenarios. Like, that's my biggest fear for me personally, is I don't want them to ever feel like me and my wife weren't there for them to help them through a tough situation because they were afraid to talk to me about it. So I'm always really probing to say, hey, if you have an issue, speak to me. Because, and as you guys know, you know what your kids' moods are typically like. Mm-hmm. And if you see that they're off a little bit, you know that there's something going on. So tell me what's going on. If you're not comfortable with it, take your time. Maybe you need a little bit of time, but I want you to speak to me about it, because at the end of the day, you may be in a position where you don't have all the information to make a good decision, and it could be more detrimental to you down the road. So I'm very incorporated that way, I would say. And maybe to a fault sometimes, right? But.
So I think our end goals are like aligned. Same. I want my kids to always be able to come to me. Like, I want to be that parent that they call if they're stuck somewhere, if they need a friend. Mm-hmm. If I want them to come to me. Like, I want them, you know, if they're 17 and, you know, super drunk somewhere, I want them to call me. And no questions asked, I'll pick you guys up, no problem. Like, I think I always wanted to be that parent that they can come to and trust. But I don't engage as much, but they always come to me. So my daughters always text me. And if my daughter's in science class texting me, hey, how's your day? I'm not doing anything, you know? And she engages with me. Do you know what I mean? Even though she's at school with her friends, in her classes, at lunch, she texts me, sends me funny pictures, memes. They're TikToking messaging me all day. It's nuts. But I think that it comes from leading by example for us. So my husband and I, they're taught manners because we lead by example. Our core values are that we are good people. We're respectful to people, to others, to our group, to our friends, to, you know, the person that is serving our coffee, to the person that is, you know, putting through our groceries. So I think we just try to lead by example, but not exactly push anything onto them. But we do things as a unit. And I think that they have that dad core value and that mom core value, where they know that they can always come to us, from, you know, when they're in trouble to when, you know, they need to do something or they need help, you know. But I think that the end game is, you know, you want to raise good humans, and exactly, you want to have our, you know, them be good in society and to be good, you know, contributors to Earth, because the last thing the Earth needs is more fucked up humans.
Yes.
And I think you're right, though. I think from your perspective, and listening to you and obviously what I had to say, you're right. I think the end goal is always the same as a parent. Yeah. I think, and I mean, if that isn't your end goal as a parent, if that doesn't make sound, maybe you shouldn't have been a parent, because if you don't want to raise good kids and good human beings for the future, like, you probably shouldn't be a parent at that point. So I think you're right. I think at the end of the day, we just want to be able to make sure that the humans we brought into this world are raised to be good people, to care for other people, to be strong individuals that they can make good decisions on their own or collectively. It doesn't matter, in team players and so forth. But at the end of the day, it does come down to something as simple as, I want them to be a good person. That's it.
Yeah.
And you're right. I think, like you, I make sure that they are aware, even to your point, like, I go get coffee, I say please, thank you, you know, have a great day, whatever. Those are all things that I think we naturally do. If you're a good person, you naturally do that as a good person, and they pick up on those things, because I've heard them do it without me even saying anything. And I think I put in a lot of the effort when they were younger to understand that, you know, please, thank you goes an extremely long way. Mm-hmm. So make sure you always say that to individuals that are, you know, providing a service, whether you go to the grocery store, they open the door for you. Like, my kids are at a point where they even open the door for people without me telling them, which is great to see, you know, because let's face it, in the days that we're in today, you very rarely see people that even do that anymore. You know what I mean? So to Julie's point, I think it's just raising good people, and you try to do that as best as you can, and you hope that you're doing it the right way. Whether you do it one way of parenting or versus another way of parenting, the end goal is the same.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I agree 100%. I think that I had a very dark and difficult upbringing, and no one really knew about it because I don't know about you guys. I don't remember ever sitting with my friends and talking about family stuff, really. I kept it really behind closed doors, and I was brought up that you don't talk about your feelings, you don't talk about our problems, everything stays in this house. And I would bring that with me to school. I felt like nobody knew. I felt like I was really good at hiding everything, but it was always there. So if somebody said something that upset me, maybe I was like extra like emotional about it, but it's because I was festering all this stuff from like what just happened last night that no one would know about because I wasn't allowed to talk about it. So I think for me, I'm a total different parent than my parents were, like night and day. My kids come to me for everything. I love them and protect them. And I was raised to think that when you are older, like you don't need an education. You just need to find the right man who's going to take care of you. And that man is going to be, the boss of the house, because that's how I was raised. And then I was very fortunate to find my husband because he, if like, think about it, if you had married somebody else, how different your life would be. Because you essentially choose this person to spend the rest of your life with. And I think we're all the same. We want it for the long haul, work really hard. It's hard work. And I was so lucky because if I had gone any other way, I probably would need more therapy than I'm in right now.
I think it's kind of like you. Like, and I don't know about Julie, maybe it's different, but for me, it was the same way. Like, anything, and fortunately, I didn't have that environment at home. Like, I gotta admit, I was raised with two great individuals. My dad was very respectful of my mom, never disrespected my mom. He was not an alcoholic, none of that. Like, till this day, he's not one of those. And not to say there's anything wrong with those individuals, because I know people that have parents, like fathers, when I was growing up, that they'd go to the bar every day. Not that they were alcoholics, but that's where they used to go. They used to hang out and so forth. My dad was never that person. My dad would go from home to work to home. Never disrespected my mom, never abused my mom, was not an alcoholic, never abused us. Like, my dad was the household, like he ran the household, like typically. Like, he was the male, and he had the last say, and it was what, and not that him and my mother didn't make decisions together, but at the end of the day, it was, even my mother, she's like, oh, I don't, we asked her something, we're like, oh, go ask your dad,
Oh,
go ask your dad,
yeah,
go ask your dad.
100%.
But it's funny, because even my wife does that with me. Like, she'll say, like, the kids want to do something, and she's okay with it, but she's like, check with your dad. And it's not to say that she can't. She's more than willing to make the decision. And I never, like, I joke around with her. I'm like, obviously, they have to come to me because I'm the boss. But I joke around. You know, at the end of the day, if I'm not around or whatever, she's absolutely making the decision. She doesn't need me to make the decision. You know? But I think it's just a natural way of how you're raised, where I think for me, it's like, to your point, like, I always looked at my father as like, my mom had a decision, but he had the last say. Whether she agreed or didn't agree, my dad could be like, yes or no. Like, and that, at that point, like, you take what he says and you run with it, whatever it was, right? But I was never invited. But at the same time, I also got the message of, anything that happens in this house, you do not talk outside of these walls. So if my dad got pissed off at some family member for whatever reason, and they were talking about it in front of us, and let's say we were going to that person's house maybe the next weekend, and in the car, they'd be like, what we said in the house, you do not repeat. That was the message. Whatever was discussed in the house stays in that house. It's a family discussion. Nobody else needs to know about it. So, like you, like, that was the thing. And from a feelings perspective, again, like, I never went to my parents and said, oh, I feel sad, or I feel this, or I feel that. Like, I never had that outlet with my parents. Whereas my kids have that with me. They can come to me, like, actually, maybe as of late, like maybe last week, I had that discussion with my middle son. I could tell that he was sad. So I'm like, why are you sad? And he told me, like, he didn't hesitate. You know what I mean? Whereas as a kid, I was like, I'm not going to tell you why I'm sad. You don't even care.
Yeah.
Like, if I told him why I was sad, my dad'd be like, that doesn't fucking matter. Like, get out
Exactly.
of here.
I had a pretty different experience. My dad was never around, so it was always me, my mom, my brother. My mom ran the household. My mom told us what to do. My dad had no say. My mom,
Your mom scared me as a kid. I was so scared of her.
yeah, my mom was so tough. And my mom said, like, she says to me now, you're so lucky, you're educated and you're able to make all of these decisions. I didn't have, like when I was young, she didn't have my dad around. She had to do everything on her own. And she had no education. So she came from, you know, Portugal and small town, and no education, no experience. And yeah, we had immigrant parents. At a hard home, it's so different than when I grew up. My husband, even though he owns a bar, yes, like my dad did, it's very different than it used to be. When I was growing up, my husband is very involved. During the week, he's the one who cooks. He's the one who picks up the kids. He always did homework with them. We have no gender roles at home. My husband is the one who cooks. He's the one who, Dad, get me a drink. Dad, what are you making for dinner? So our house is very, very different than it was when I was growing up, where Mom only cooked, Mom only cleaned. So I'm very fortunate in that aspect. But when it came to our feelings, because my dad wasn't around, I didn't really have that connection with him when we were young. Like my daughters do with their dad. Their dad is so involved in their feelings and their lives and their day-to-day. But my mom, she struggled with mental illness ever since I was young. She had a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression that didn't go diagnosed until, you know, 10 years ago. So she was always, you know, battling her own issues that we were not aware of. And, you know, I would find her crying and I would say to her, Mom, like, what's wrong? And she's like, I'm just sad. Just let me cry, mm-hmm, you know? And I thought that was normal. And, you know, and I had such a different experience from my dad where he was always like, just fine. Everything was always fine with him. And even now, he has a heart condition and his doctor says, I don't understand. Like, your dad's never upset. He's always happy. He's always good. Like, nothing bothers him. And I'm pretty sure that's why he's still alive, because he stresses over nothing. It's very different as opposed to like me and my husband, where our kids have both been in therapy from a young age. My youngest daughter was in therapy over anxiety. You know, she's anxious over flying, and we're educated enough where we are able to, you know, help our kids in ways that we can't, you know, with a different outlet. And she saw a therapist, and same as my youngest, you know, she started to feel sadness from a young age, and we, you know, we have a home and we have a good family life, and she shouldn't be sad. So we were able to, you know, get them help and, you know, have them, you know, learn coping mechanisms, things that we were never able to do. And because we have that knowledge, that education, and we're able to give our kids that sort of help, because I feel like, you know, when you get sick, you have a cold, you go to a doctor, and I think it's so important to, you know, educate your kids with mental health. And even if they're feeling sadness, and if it's long term, or if it's affecting their eating, or if it's affecting their sleeping, it's something that we definitely need to educate our kids that it's okay to speak to somebody, it's okay to, you know, express your feelings. And this is how you will learn to help that, to cope, or how it will help you. Okay. So I think that, you know, I took what my parents gave me and I just dealt with it in a different way. I internalized it different. But one time, I had my kids really young, as Phil did. I was 21 when I had my first daughter. And I see my husband's much older. Like, Phil and his wife, they're the same age. They have like a, you know, they very much young couple, you know. My husband's much older than I am, so it was a bit different for me. I was, you know, I feel like I was still a child, and I'm having this kid. And, you know, a few weeks ago I asked my husband, like, how did you know I was going to be a good mom? Like, how would you know? I'm 21, fresh out of school, had no idea what I was doing. And he said to me, you had good parents. I knew you were going to be a good mom because your parents were always good to you. And I just took that in, and parent extremely different, but I think the end result is the same. Whenever you need them, they'll always be there for you.
I think you probably, both of you probably did the same, and it sounds like you did. I took what my parents gave me as an upbringing and what was good, what was bad. I took what was good and I further enhanced it based on what I learned from them, and I did it my own way. I still provided them with the same type of scenarios that my parents gave with me that I considered to be good parenting skills. And the ones that were, I'll classify as bad, like one as an example, I tell my kids every single day that I love them. Every single day.
Same.
Oh my God, my before parents never said that to me.
my kids come to me. Neither did my parents. So then that's why though. Like, and I knew my parents loved me. I never thought otherwise. I knew they loved me. But my dad never told me. My dad probably, and I'm not exaggerating here, he's probably told me he loved me maybe 5 times in his life.
And oh, you're lucky. I don't think I got one.
But you know what? But it all happened once I was older, like once I had my own family and so forth. Like, for example, the one vivid time that I remember was the first year that my parents in the winter went back home to Portugal, and they went over the holidays. So they went there for Christmas and they went there for New Year's. And I remember that year calling them, I think it was on New Year's Day, like when the clock struck 12, in Portugal, obviously. And I called them and I was talking to my mom and my dad or whatever. And at the end, my dad was the one that finished off the conversation. And I said, hey, I love you. And he repeated it. Like, that was the first time that I vividly remember. And he said it a couple of times, other times, but it was always me initiating the telling him that I loved him, and he reciprocated. But my kids today, they do not go to sleep without telling me they love me. They kiss me on the cheek, they say goodnight, then they say I love you. And I say the same thing to them. But to me, I never wanted them to feel or even have the slightest feeling that maybe my dad doesn't love me. You know what I mean? Like, I make sure that I tell them every single day. Randomly, throughout the day, I'll tell them that I love them, or I hug them, or I kiss them, or whatever like that. Even my eldest son, and let's face it, he's a teenager, probably doesn't want that shit to happen anymore. But I still tell him, and at the end of the day, I'm like, listen, whether you're 15, 20, 25, I'm probably going to do that, because at the end of the day, that's, you're my son, and I want you to feel like people do care about you, and especially your parents, right? So that's what I took. I always took the good from what my parents did for me and how they brought me up, and I applied it to my own parenting. Mm-hmm. And like Julie, like, I was 21 years old when my son was born, right? Like, I was young. I've always had a natural, and even my parents talk about it every once in a while. I started taking care of like a cousin of mine. He actually lives up the street from me. When I was 13 years old, he was born, and his parents trusted me at 13 years old to watch like a 6-month-old baby. I've always had the parenting skill, I guess, or the wantingness to be a parent. And I always said that I wanted to have kids at a young age. My goal was always to have 2 kids by the age of 25. And I did. I got both my kids, the 2 older ones, by the age of 25. Yeah, and that was always because I wanted to be young and have my kids and be able to enjoy my kids as a young adult, and even hopefully one day have grandkids where I'm still young and can still do it, right? But I think, like Julie, like, you just take, and I think for you, Susie, you probably did the same thing, whether, you know, you had a much different, or what sounds to be a much different household, you learn from that by saying, I do not want to do that for my kids. I do not want to be that person for you and your husband. And I'm sure you picked your husband for the same thing. Like, you saw that he wasn't going to be causing the same atmosphere in your household for your kids that you had. And that's probably what attracted you to him too. Is, yeah, like, I know I have a good person.
I was so judgy though, to the point where I'm like, are you Portuguese? Yeah. Nope. Not even looking at you. Like, I was so judgy. When Julie met Rui, I was like, are you sure? Like, I was so nervous for her, because in my mind, I'm like, okay, well, there goes my friend, my poor, poor friend. But thankfully that didn't happen. I was totally wrong. She was right. It was good, but it could have gone the other way. I was really scared for you.
What did you say, Susie, when you first met Rui? What did you say?
I think I was like, he's so old. Come on, let's just go. Do you want it? Like, I can figure out an escape plan for you, an excuse, let's get out of here. Like, I was trying to help you get out of this. And oh yeah, I was like, does he need to live here or something, right? Because he was from Portugal.
Oh yeah, you thought he was like not legal.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, are you trying to help him? Yeah. And that's it? And she's like, no, I love him. I'm like, oh dear. But he's not what I expected in the best possible way.
My first reaction was the same thing. I'm like, geez, he looks older than her. Like, I don't know how much older, but he's older than her. But then it doesn't matter, right? Because you get to know the person and you see that they're a good person and you even forget, okay, yeah, he may be 10 years older than me, but whatever, he's a nice guy. I don't care.
I actually think that my daughters will have a hard time finding a partner because their expectations in a partner is going to be so incredibly high. Having a partner that completely has your back, but not only, like, I like to be taken care of, and that's why I found somebody older than me.
You flip her hair, you see that?
Yeah, she did.
He definitely does that. So he's definitely he's not the one that, you know, runs the household per se, but he definitely is the one that we go to when we need something. Like, he's the one that, you know, helps us, and he's the one who, you know, takes care of us.
Yeah.
And the girls really appreciate that, you know, dad's the one who, if mom needs to be picked up in the middle of nowhere because something happens, he's there. He's the one who will, you know, drive your friends home. He's the one who will pick you up and run your errands. He's the one who you'll go to when you need something. And that is so important for a partner.
We are living totally different night and day from our parents. So I think it's so important now more than ever to be very careful who your kids are surrounded by.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
So I agree with you. I think that I can speak from experience. The reason why I had all of this freedom when I was younger was because I had really good friends. Like, my closest friends weren't the ones smoking, weren't the ones skipping school. My closest friends are the ones that went to school, never got in trouble. They always kept, I feel like they even grounded me because I'm always the crazy one. I'm like more of the outgoing one. I like to cause a little bit of trouble. But I was so grateful to have friends that always kept me grounded, that always kept me out of trouble. But still love me from my personality, or in spite of my crazy personality. And so I think that for our kids, now especially, I want my daughters to have friends that are, you know, good influences, that I feel like that is so important right now, where they can be influenced to do some really bad shit. And I think that because my daughter had a friend that went to, you know, high school, and she got into the program, and they're doing this program together, and I know the parents, they're great parents, and she's a great friend. And so I feel so much more comfortable that my daughter messages me and says, oh, I'm going to the mall after school. Is that okay? Absolutely. You know, and I have this trust in her because I know who she's with. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important. And I definitely would be the mom that says, I'm not quite sure about this kid. And I would be a little bit more airy or cautious about her going out with, you know, another girl or guy that I was unsure about, you know. But because I'm so comfortable with who she's with, I give her more freedom. You know, my daughter has so much freedom that we never had. You know, they go skating without us. We pick them up or drop them off, or they walk over to their dad's bakery, and they have all of this freedom because of the people they are with. Because if they were with people that I didn't trust, I'm not sure I would be so lenient, to be honest.
I think that's like, I go back, and obviously you guys know who he is, but Phil, always, he's been my best friend, will continue to be my best friend, hopefully till the day we fucking die, you know what I mean? But that was one thing that my parents always liked, that if I was hanging out with Phil, they never cared, you know what I mean? Like, they're like, because they knew he came from a good family as well. Yeah. They knew he was a good kid.
Absolutely.
Like, me and him together, as you guys know, like, we get up the shit just because of who we were together.
I was going to say, I don't think your parents knew the trouble you guys actually got into.
Absolutely. I remember you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, and honestly, those are the memories that I hold on to the most. Yeah. And I always tell people, like, truly, as a, now we're touching on Phil as a friend, but I don't have a friend other than him that I truly, truly consider. Like, I don't even think of him as my friend, to be quite honest. Like, he legitimately feels like a brother of mine. I never, me and him, like, we can go, there's been times in our lives where just our lives are so busy that we don't talk to each other for like 6 months. You know what I mean? And it's okay. Like, I don't hold anything against him. He doesn't hold anything against me. We understand that as adults and having kids and, you know, houses and jobs and so forth, like, we're busy and it's okay. But he was always one of the guys that my parents just, they never had any concern, because he truly, he was, and he still is, a super nice guy, good head on his shoulders, like me. Like, we used to, you know, cause shit together, but we cause shit together in a way that we knew we weren't going to get in big trouble. If we were going to get in trouble, it was just from our parents. You know what I mean? Like, whether we came
home late together. I have this memory of the two of you. Oh my gosh. For Halloween one year, where you guys were crisscrossed.
Yes.
And they wore their clothes backwards, including their pants. I'll never forget this. And the two of you were just it was so funny. You guys were so silly. I have no idea how the two of you came up with this stuff.
You looked like you shared a brain.
Absolutely. They were definitely like joint. Their brain was like one half and one half. Definitely.
We had the same thought process all the time. Like, even our I remember any class we were in together, the teacher's like, fuck this, we gotta,
yes,
yeah,
but even at that point, like, they still couldn't separate us, right? Because we would talk shit from across the room, and if the teacher said something that we both thought was funny, we would instantly look at each other like, what the fuck did you just say? So we've always been like that, and we and even today, like, it's funny because I know Julie was mentioning exchanging like memes and stuff like that. Me and him do that, you know. Like, we send the, like, if we find something that brings us back from a nostalgia point of view that like was back in the day or whatever, he's one of the first people I tag.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, because we still have that same thought process.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, going back, like, my parents never had a concern with him. His parents never had a concern with me. That we used to go, for example, in the summers, our routine was, we'd in the morning we'd be at home, we'd have lunch, and right after lunch we'd meet up and we'd go to JJP for like 5 hours.
Yeah.
And we'd be there. My parents knew where I was, they knew who I was with, and they never ever cared. And like Julie, like, I'm the same way. Like, if I know who my kids are with and I have no concerns with that kid, I'm more lenient to say, yeah, if you're gonna go, you wanna go somewhere, go, or whatever. But if I don't know the kid, like, my kids know. They need to tell me who they're with. Because in my mind, it's like, I need to know who you're with, so I need to know what level of worry I have to have.
Exactly.
Because if I don't know them, then I'm going to worry a little bit more. But if I do know them, I'm going to worry less. I'll still ask you to, you know, let me know, or if you're going to be late or whatever, so I don't have to worry about it. But other than that, like, I, as long as they're with kids that I deem to be good kids, trustworthy kids, like, I don't really second guess it, I guess you can call it. Hopefully, you know, as a parent, you know, you hope you know who the kids that your kids are with, and hopefully they're trustworthy and they're not causing any shit either. Like, I just, that's all you can hope for at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I feel like our kids, my kids, I can speak for my kids, are so much more well behaved than I ever was in elementary school.
They really are.
A thousand percent. And I'll talk to them and I'm like, okay, so this is what you guys do? Like, this is grade three. I did this in grade three. Like, you're in grade eight now, step it up, you know? No, the kids are, and I'll tell them, hey, if, you know, you're going to grade nine, want to get another piercing? They're like, no. Okay. Hey, do you want to do this? They're like, yeah. I'm like, let's go get another piercing. And they're like, no. okay, do you want to dye your hair? No. I'm like, okay, well, you guys are no fun.
You're so lucky, Julie. You really are. You hit the jackpot with your kids.
I think it's because I'm so crazy, they keep me grounded.
Yeah.
Because I still feel like I'm in my 20s. Like I still feel like I'm such a young soul that I'll never age. My kids are grandmas compared to me. My daughter says to me the other day, she comes home and she says, you know how I described you to my friends? I'm like, how? She says, you're just a hippie that thinks she's cool.
Ouch.
Right.
Ouch. I like the hippie part though.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So, you know,
it's going to be interesting to see your kids when they're like graduating high school. You know, that's like next level, that next stage, because you have to survive high school right now. And I don't care how good your kids are. There always has to be that one thing at high school that's going to challenge you as a parent. It's going to happen.
100%.
There's no preparing for it, but it's going to happen. You just got to wait and be there for them and do the best you can. Hopefully it's not too bad for you.
Hopefully not. I always worried about that too. Like going, especially grade nine. Like I remember my grade nine, I went to school with some kids that I knew, but it was so nerve wracking. I just remember being so stressed out the first couple of days. You know what I mean? Like you just didn't know what to expect. And I remember I dropped off my son because my son goes to high school. Like Julie's further away, right? So that day I was like, okay, I'll drop you off at school. No problem. And then going forward, you just take the bus on your own, but I'll drop you off the first day. And I noticed in the car, like he was just super quiet. Very like you could just tell there was this aura around him and he was like super nervous. Right. But ever since like the first day, like I've always, every once in a while, I don't ask him anymore, obviously, because now they're like months in, whatever the time for them is. But it was only the first day where I felt like for me, it was harder.
Yeah.
For some reason. I got to admit my eldest son, he's so much more confident than I was. And I was like, and as you guys know, at that age, I was a pretty confident
kid.
I didn't have, but I mean, like I never worried about, for example, being picked on or anything, because I was my age and like even Phil and his together, we were big guys for our age. So we never really worried about anybody bothering us per se. But then you're going into a school where you're no longer the biggest guy. You know what I mean? So you're starting at the bottom again. Mm-hmm. But my son, like, I got to admit, like, he's so confident that he really only stressed out the first day. And I envy that, right? Because when I was young, like, I didn't have the confidence level he has. But I think it also, it goes back to even the parenting that we do, I think, is you hopefully raise them to be confident individuals in what they do. And it's okay to fail at something. And nobody's going to, like, I'm not going to get mad at you for failing if you try your best. You know what I mean? So. But him going into high school, like he was only that first day where he was super, super nervous. Then the next day he's like, ah, it's fine. Like I, you know, just the first day I met a couple of people, I'm good now. So it was just, it was odd. And like Julie, like I talk to him and my other kids as if they're my age. You know what I mean? Like I don't sugarcoat anything. Yeah. I don't, how I speak to them. Like a lot of people are like, oh my God, you swear in front of your kids? Yeah. Because
that's me. I don't want to raise snowflakes.
Yeah. Like, I never talked to my kids as, like, you know, I didn't want them to ever feel like I'm, in the way I'm talking to them, I'm demeaning them in somehow. But, in the car, like, we listen to the same music. We have the same passion for, like, running shoes, like, me and my son. Like, so he'll see really nice, cool running shoes that he loves. Like, Dad, you see these? And we have that connection where I think, like Julie, I don't act my age. You know what I mean? I act at a much younger age because I truly feel younger. Like, I don't think I've 36, you know what I mean? Like, my mentality isn't like that. My bones and my back may disagree, but at the end of the day, like, my thought process is I'm still a young guy. I hang out with my kids as much as possible, but you try to not be that, you know, that old grumpy person as a parent that historically was always, you know, a pain in the ass. And you try to, like, just be like them and try to make them feel comfortable around you. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Same. So my kids, we watch the same, we have the same TV shows. So they watch Vampire Diaries with me. We're watching Gossip Girl now because I have two girls. It's much easier.
Yeah.
And they send me TikToks all day. We share a lot of the same things, including clothes and shoes. They're my size. or I'm their size. And
yeah, the other way around, girl.
And we listen to the same music, but I think my youngest daughter, my oldest daughter, actually, she's much more comfortable with being alone. So she likes to be alone a lot. She's okay with being alone at school, even though she does have a couple of friends. Not me. I was not okay with being alone. Like, I always wanted to be with people. I always wanted to talk to people. So when she went to school, it was just her and one other friend. And she was fine. And she's okay with just having a small group of friends. And her high school experience is so much different from mine. Yeah, I mean, I went to a school where I saw fighting on the first day, and I saw, you know, all of this other stuff. And her high school experience is so much different. She says everybody's so nice. Everybody's united. She goes to an all-girls school, and she says it's not catty whatsoever. The most intense thing she saw was two best friends fighting over a bag of chips. So it's such a totally different experience than what I went through. I think back then we were much more cutthroat than mm-hmm. what happens now. And she did struggle, though. She went into grade 9 AP math, and that was really difficult because she came out of 2 years of COVID. So she's being dropped into this formula-based math that she wasn't prepared for. And she lost a lot of confidence when it came to that mm-hmm. with her math and her schoolwork. And it was really difficult for her. She wanted to drop AP. And if this was my parents, they would have been like, yeah, no problem. Just drop it. You don't have to do it. You know, my parents never pushed us when it came to school or to do things that we didn't want to do. And, you know, normally I would have been the same way. I would have been like, okay, that's fine. You can drop it. But in this situation, I knew she's capable of so much more. So we got her a tutor, and, you know, there was a lot of crying for the two of us. Like, I didn't even know what to do. I felt so helpless. I couldn't help her. And we were able to get a tutor and have her get help and get through the semester. But it's so much different than the way it would have been done to us, because my parents were immigrants. They did not even know how to read mm-hmm. in English. And there was no way they would ever help us with our math or help us with our schoolwork.
But it's funny you say that, actually, because my eldest son, what you just said about your daughter is very similar to my eldest son, which is so odd. Not odd, it's just, I guess, coincidental. But he's very much the same way too. He doesn't need a lot. Like, he's like me. Like, I don't need a lot of people around me. Like, I'm cool on my own. A couple of friends, I'm good. My eldest son is very much the same. But also from a school perspective, my son, same thing, AP program. The biggest challenge he had was math as well, which is so interesting to hear. Like, they're very similar. Even though they don't know each other, they're very similar from a personality perspective. Like, they're okay. Like, they're kind of okay to have a small friend group, be on their own, do their own thing. They're, you know, even from an academics, like, my son was always really good at math. And that's the subject he had the most challenge with in high school as well. And it was the challenge of math. And he, not that he dropped significantly, but like your daughter, his confidence from an academic point of view in math dropped. He was always so like, oh, math is easy. It's this, it's that. Like, I can do it, no problem. And he's always been fantastic. And like, I envy them, right? Because I wasn't as smart as them. I'll be honest. Like,
me neither.
My mind gets blown every time I see his marks, because I know I wasn't a good student. And I never hide that from them either. Right? At the end of the day, I expect them to be a good student, and I'll help them through it as much as I can. But me, I was never a great student. I went to school to fucking shoot the shit with my friends, and that's what I was there for. I was like, if I got a 50, I'm like, sick, see you next year. But if my kid gets a 50, I'm like, what the fuck's going on, man? Like, we're giving you all the opportunities not to get a 50. What the hell's going on here? So that's the only thing that I noticed from him too. But it's so crazy that they're so similar from a personality when it comes to those two specific things that you mentioned. I'm sure they're different in other ways, but they're both the oldest, which is crazy. My middle son is the opposite. He likes a lot of friends. He likes hanging out with people. He's a very social person.
Same.
So it's just, it's crazy that they match up from a personality.
I think both of your kids need to meet this summer. We need to make that happen. Okay. And
they went to Portuguese school together. Yeah. They were in the same class.
But I think it's different when they're in a classroom.
It was different back then. They were so innocent back then. Like, that was different. Like now my son struts around like he's like the shit.
See, so I'd love to see this. I think we need to just get them together and sit back and have drinks and just watch. Just feel like this is going to be fun. I think that's amazing. I really appreciate you guys taking the time to do this with me. I want to end with one last question. If you had to think back right now to one song that brings you right back to elementary school or a favorite memory from then, what song would it be?
One song, and it'll probably be really different than
you. Oh, 100%.
It was a song, and it was so funny. And I was always so focused as a kid when it came to this, right? And then obviously there's a portion of it that's not the truth anymore. But one of the songs that comes to the top of my mind is this very rap, grungy type song.
Okay.
It was a song called Power Respect. It was a song by The Lox. It's an old, old song.
What?
And it stuck with me just because of the title. Quite honestly, it stuck to me because not the words, like just the title itself. And I always, as a kid, like I always envisioned myself to be a leader of some sort, whatever I was in, whether it was sports, maybe one day in my career or whatever. And that stuck to me for so many years. Like I still listen to that song every once in a while. And the one portion that doesn't matter to me anymore really is the money part, because we all know as you get older, the money, you need it to survive, but it's not the main priority, right? But the power and respect stuck with me for forever. And it was more the respect than anything else. Like I always, because I remember in school, like nobody ever looked at me and said, that guy's going to be successful, never. Like, because I was never good in school, you know what I mean? And I was a hothead. I didn't get along with people well. If they said something that I didn't like, I'd lose my shit. And I don't know if you guys remember. That's why I get in fights so often. Because if people disrespected me, I was like, no, that ain't going to fly. So that song, for whatever reason, always stuck with me because I was, respect and power, to me, come in hand in hand. Because if you're respected, then people envision you in a position of power, right? Not that I didn't need to, like, I'm not looking at it from a negative point of view where I need to be in power. But I think respect makes you feel powerful. And if people respect you, you feel that powerful feeling where you're like, okay, they respect me. And I'm now expected to do something that is worthy of their respect, right? So I always made sure that I was always, like I pushed to be in a position where I was in a leadership position. I always wanted to, for whatever reason, be in that position of leading, whether it was a sports team, a business venture. And I still do that today, and it's crazy. Even in my day-to-day like professional life, like I always told myself that I wanted to be a people leader in some sort of way, whether it was a small group, big group, or whatever. But for whatever reason, that song for years stuck with me just because of the title.
Phil, you went so deep there. My God.
It's I know.
Legit. And I don't remember.
That's how.
I don't remember you that way at all. I remember the first thing I think about when I think of Philip Barrows, I think about a mustache.
Same.
Right? That was the first thing. And you were so nice to us. Like, me and Julie have great memories of you walking us home. You and Phil, you guys were wonderful people. I have no bad memories or thoughts of you.
Yeah, that was, yeah. I'm glad you feel that way. Just even from a female perspective, I've had shitty relationships in the past like anybody else, and probably situations I could have handled better for sure. Like, I'm not perfect by any means. But one thing I never wanted to do was make females feel disrespected. And I think I'm glad you guys felt that way, because my entire life, I never, like females from, whether it's, you know, people I know, older women, little girls, whatever, I've always been more caring towards females for that reason. I don't know. It's just maybe a nurturing portion of me where I just, women to me, like, just don't disrespect as much as possible. Unless somebody, you know, really pisses you off, tell them to fuck off or whatever. But other than that, like, I was always trying to be nice to every person. Even, let's face it, there were some girls in the school that I didn't like, but I never went out of my way to disrespect them. I never tried to do that.
Yeah. Okay, Julie.
Yeah,
I tell
just
my kids
remember,
the same way, don't disrespect them.
And I remember the Phils just being... just the two of them. It's just the Barrows and Funk.
Yeah,
right? The
you film. Can't think of one without thinking of the other.
Yeah. And I just remember the two of you and a basketball.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was your trademark.
Yeah.
And I don't remember you guys really engaging in anything super disruptive unless it was the two of you together. And yeah, you guys were always one and the same.
Julie, what's your song?
I don't know that I don't have anything deep to say.
Me like, neither, trust me.
Still did.
They're just like the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah, exactly. The
That's what I remember about you guys.
I have a playlist and it's my Backstreet Boys favorites. And it's just Backstreet Boys. The Backstreet Boys, the Spice Girls, definitely. And a couple of Hanson songs.
Oh my God.
98 Degrees, you know, NSYNC, definitely. Honestly, any music from that era just brings me back to that little girl that wanted to meet Howie Doro on the street somewhere and, you know, marry him.
Is that his last name?
And that's it. Howie
Doro. Good on you for knowing that. I don't know any of their last names.
But now, as I'm older, I went to watch the Backstreet Boys concert 2 years ago before the pandemic, and now I'm like, oh, look at Kevin Federline.
Oh, really?
Damn.
Oh my God. But, you know you're getting old when you find Kevin
Federline. I know. I'm like, damn, look
She
at
just
him.
Likes older guys in
That's
general.
That's what right? it is.
I do. I'm like, damn, when did this happen? But like my music, my genre, all of that has changed. Like I listen to death metal, you know, Metallica, and I love Slipknot. Like I'm listening to, it's so different than what I actually like loved as like, you know, somebody in high school and my teens. And it's so different. Like I listen to, right now I'm listening to a lot of cover bands, cover, you know, acoustic music.
Wow.
Working from home. And that's what you listen to, but it's so different than when I was young, when I take, you know, S Club, that takes me right
Oh
back.
Yeah, that song, when me and Julie went out one night to like a 90s party, that was the song. When that came on, I didn't even realize how much I loved it. We lost our minds.
Oh my God. We lost our minds. Like that music, that vibe just takes me back to when we were kids.
Yeah. Well, for...
Oh, for sure. There's the odd song that comes on where you're like, oh.
That's why you should have came to our reunion, because we had all those songs playing in the background the entire time. Right. So I'd stop like in the moment, just looking at everybody. I'd go up to Julie and we're like, obviously tanked. And I'm like, just stop right now for a second. Look at everyone and listen to the song that's on. And it was so weird. I'm like, this is just blowing my mind.
I do wish I went to that. It was unfortunate I couldn't make it that day because I was looking forward to it too.
I know. Trust me, you did miss out. I can't even make you feel better. Like you missed out. So my song, it wasn't even a specific song, but it's everything Julie said, yes. But for me, it would be the Jewel album, her first album. So I don't know if anyone ever knew how much I loved her, but she and I could relate to her music on such a level. To this day, like if I'm sad, I'm going to be in my bed listening to songs that reflect that. If I'm cleaning, I'm listening to gangster rap. Like I'm very much a musical soul person. And Jewel to this day, if I listen to that album, because she had like a troubled past and family, broken family, that's what I would listen to. I listened to that really loud to, you know, not hear the sounds going on in my house. And that's what I would listen to is Jewel to this day. I still like it.
Crazy.
Yeah. Well, guys, thank you so much for being here. This was so much fun. I think we need to do an in-person, like live aired kind of thing and have like people join, you know, like instead of a reunion, what we could do is be like a live event where whoever wants to show up, by the way, Julie, it's going to be in your backyard. Just saying, we'll just make whoever wants to show up.
In the garage?
Yeah. Guys, thank you so much. That was good times.
Thank you.